grateful that I was able to do this. It's been something that I've been wanting to approach about. This morning I was thinking, as we were singing the song of the "Let the Worshippers Arise," the "Father, I see you drawing a line in the sand," I always think of the battle at the Alamo. There were great men there that fell, and at the end, when they knew they were not gonna make it past after the long siege of Mexico, they were holding a siege against the Alamo. The men came out, brought Jim Bowie out, and he said, and he came out, drew a line in the sand, says, "Whoever's going to stay and fight, step across this line." No one was moving until Jim Bowie said, "Boys, if you don't lift me over that line, I'm fixing to come off this bed and push you all over." They all went over right after he said that, except for one. They said that he had one chance to go out. They sent him out. He didn't make it. They didn't win, but then later in the same war, there was a fight. There was only one way out of the battlefield, and there were the bridges. And the commander, after the men had started to charge, the commander ran up and yelled, "Men, there's no way out. Bridges have been burned. Fight to the last death." And they started yelling, "Remember the Alamo." And it was a close war, and if I remember right, the Americans won. It has nothing to do with what I was wanting to talk about, but it's something I wanted to share. I want to go to 1 Chronicles 16:34. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I was wanting to talk about, the title is "Mercy Worthy of Praise." Pretty sure we all know the chapter of Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Doesn't say make a good noise, it just says make a joyful noise. "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." It doesn't say we have to, it just says we need to want to. "Know ye that the Lord, he is God, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." You can be seated. In Psalm 136, verses 1 through 26, they aren't very long, it's just they're short and simple. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out to the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever." I find that as he writes this, he doesn't try and think of what would be good to say, not what would be big and fancy to say, which is something I've dealt with, is I don't know what to say. This brings out that we just praise him for what we have here and now. "The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth for him forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. And as he goes through this, he brings out that for the trials that he brought the Israelites out of. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever, even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low state, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever, and though gave thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So he goes through this, he thinks that it comes out to me that he wasn't thanking for what has done. What he thought in the past and the trials that he brought him out of and the accomplishments God had given him. And he didn't focus just on the past, but he brings out that he had given him the accomplishments, the things that God had helped him with, the blessings that he had given Israel and him, the beating of the famous kings and the land for an heritage unto Israel. Even in their low state, God knew that these were his chosen people, that this is what he was going to have them do. In Psalm 77, 6-14, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. This is when he asks him to purge himself, to find him, to search him, that he may not know what he needs to find, what he needs to give to God, but he knew that there was something. There's always more to give him. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgot to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. I found this word and I realize it's in several of the, it's at the end of several psalms. I looked it up and it says, in the New American Standard Hebrew, it means to lift up or exalt. And then some scholars believe that it is a silence or pause, which if you put those together, it's a praise break. And then still others think that's when the instruments perform alone, which brings to me that the worshipers, the leaders, went into a praise break. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary, who is so great, a God is our God. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Even in this section of scripture, he brings out his past circumstances and how he brought him out. But then, in verse 10, he says, and I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Then he goes on to the present. I will meditate also of all thy work, and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. not in the world. He didn't take all the sin and put it in the world so we can enjoy it. That is why we have the sanctuary that is clean, should be clean. That's what all the Super Bowl is. Some of the churches, they don't have Sunday night service because of the Super Bowl. What is that? That's things of the world, not of the church. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of doings. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. And in the ending of 13, who is so great a God as our God? And then he goes into 14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. It is in his sanctuary that he does the wonders. But it is not only in his sanctuary, it is in the world. That is what the mercy worthy of praise is for. That is what he has given us mercy for. Mercy is not just for the sanctuary. It is for the world. That is why he gave us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to guide us throughout our day-to-day lives. That is why in Acts, whenever they received it for the first time, it didn't stay in the building. It went out into the streets. That is why the Holy Spirit gave them tongues of different languages. That's why there were traitors. It was in the time of a feast, and they had went many people from different countries which spoke different tongues. And as the men from Jerusalem, they said that they were drunken and full of wine, that they didn't know what they're talking about. But then the traitors from other countries confirmed that this is what they were speaking. They were giving praise to the Lord God, their God. And in that day, not only were the 120 filled with the Holy Spirit, but another 3,000 were added to the church. And then added the missionaries, Paul, and then Peter. And then it just expanded from there. It didn't go from Peter denying the Lord 3 times. It didn't end there. It didn't go from Jesus being crucified and risen from the grave. It didn't stop there. It continued through it and gave us the grace to know that there was some more help coming. That is why we have the Holy Spirit to help us along the way. Jesus is not only the one who died for our sins, he is the one that helps those, that he gives us grace, he gives us mercy. He is the one in the vineyard that helps the vineyard owner. He's the one that helps the trees. He's the one that, in the story, when the vineyard owner wanted to cut down a tree because it would not bear fruit, one man came up and said, just give it one more year. I will do whatever I can to help it. That one man to help the tree was Jesus. If he did not do that, then that tree would have been cast onto the burn pile to be burned. It would have never been back again. Many different things of mercy were, there was the prodigal son, which we think many times not quite of a mercy story, but it is. He goes out in the Father comes, and the Father in his mercy is waiting for the Son to come back. And in the mercy of the Father, he gave a party to the Son that came back. If it was not the Son that accepted the Father's mercy, he would not have made it. And in many cases, there was the brothers, Joseph's brothers. They threw their little brother, the one that followed the Lord God, they threw him and sold him to traitors, which he became a slave. And since he accepted the mercy of the Lord, he could have denied him, but he kept the faith. If he hadn't have kept the faith, where would have the Israelites been? Would they have been with Moses around Mount Sinai? Would they have been the ones that received the Holy Spirit? Every man that is given mercy, if he does not accept the mercy, it can change everything in the plan that God has. I've been talking to my cousin, and he's wondering if everything is at chance. I tell him that everything is planned out by God. And he wonders what that everything cannot be planned out. Then I explained that it is our choice that affects the plan that God has. If we do not accept it, then we don't go on to serve God, and it won't happen exactly how God would want it. But it does not change what God has planned. It is just not in his favor. And it is the mercy of the Lord that even if it is not, if one man does not accept, he will move on to use someone else. It is mercy of the Lord and the mercy of worthy of praise that he died on the cross. As the picture shows, it is his mercy that he came down, sent his only begotten Son, that Jesus accepted his call to die on the cross for our sins. And it is this reason why we are here today.